Wrestling with Kayfabe, favorite moments from Royal Rumble history, DJ Papa Show with you. Obviously, Royal Rumble this Sunday, and we went back and we were just kind of watching on the WWE Network. I think this is what, what's it called?
97?
Yeah, this would be 97, and it's, I have no idea who the dude in the flannel jacket is.
I don't know either.
the other guy is Ahmad Johnson, who did not have the best run in the world in WWF at the time.
Yeah, and then went to WCW and tried to reform Harlem Heat with Stevie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Clarence Mason. Not familiar with the old Clarence Mason.
Yeah, I don't know.
White guy with goatee and dreads.
He's got a forehead tattoo.
Does he?
Yeah.
I miss that. The logo for the 97 Rumble is one of my favorites. Just classic logo to me.
Yeah. That's a lot of moments from the Rumble's history that we've all enjoyed. Cena, Batista... In 05?
I think so.
05 or 06. It was towards the beginning of
Edge's. Oh my god, it's a fake Razor Ramon. That's fucking awesome. man, what a classic moment, though.
Yeah.
Vince coming out, blowing both of his quads.
Yeah.
And having to... sit and tell them the finish. I mean, just absolutely terrific.
Well, I mean, for something to be so real and not intentional, you know, by both of them literally hitting the floor at the same time.
Man.
And you couldn't have written something like that.
Well, and they tried to do it. What year was that? 95, I think, with Bret Hart and Lex Luger?
Uh-huh.
Where they, you know, tried to have them go out at the same time, and then the refs argued about it. I mean, but yeah, there's no script in that.
No. And I mean, how you time that so perfectly is beyond me. Well, obviously, on accident, but... And then Batista ended up winning, didn't he?
I think so. And that set up his match with Undertaker.
Was it Triple H?
May have been Triple H.
I think it was Triple H.
Well, wasn't that the year that it was Cena, Orton, Triple H? Because Undertaker and Batista would have been 25.
I think Undertaker and Batista was later.
I think it was too, because I think that... wasn't Undertaker the challenger going into that? Batista was the champion?
In that one?
Yeah. No, that would have been WrestleMania 23, because 25 would have been Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Their first matchup. Yeah, what a wild...
that was wild.
What a wild moment, though.
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out what WrestleMania that would have been. Well, that wasn't WrestleMania 21, was it?
Maybe, because I feel like I remember that being, that Royal Rumble arena being on SmackDown vs. Raw 2006.
Let's see here, that was 2005.
Okay.
And then, trying to think who won. See, that's why we have Google in the modern world. Because I'm trying to remember.
Absolutely.
Who won the 2005 Royal Rumble? Batista. Okay, Batista, so it was WrestleMania 21, and it was Batista, and that's when Cena wrestled JBL.
Okay. That makes sense.
So it was Batista, Triple H, Cena, JBL.
Interesting.
Which, you know, ended up working better for Cena anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, Bradshaw was really good at getting Cena to that star level.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, he was the perfect heel for Cena at the time, for sure.
Hey, an early Steve Austin.
Yeah, 97. That's...
When did he cut that promo? Was it
96, I think. 96,
okay. So this was the beginning of his 316 phase.
Yeah. Yeah, this was still, yeah, the very beginning. Yeah, there's a sign back there in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this was the very beginning. Came off the turnbuckle. And it's funny because you don't really remember Steve Austin being a super athletic guy. But
yeah, absolutely. He did have athleticism about him early in his career. Damn, and he launched him right into the ropes. That looked rough.
Yeah, that looked like somebody who didn't work. Look how young he is.
Yeah.
So weird. I mean, you know, you watch these guys back in the day and you thought, oh, these guys are like 30, 40 years old. They were like 25, 26. You know, they looked different. Mm-hmm. They looked so much older than they really were.
Well, and it definitely seems like nowadays, man, you got to be pretty old to get a big-time push.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really give anybody a push, you know, at a very young age.
Oh, Jesus. No, not really. Steve Austin cleaned the house.
That was all terrible. Bart Gunn.
Yeah, this was not... going over the ropes was not taught, apparently.
Right? Not well taught, no, at least.
Not apparently, man. So. Yeah, it seems like WWE has become more of a experience matters push place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously AJ Styles got his push, but he's, you know, 42?
Yeah, he's no spring chicken.
You know, I mean, look at Orton now.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously Orton's been with the company forever. So
yeah, and Orton was, I mean, I don't know, one of the last guys that was that young and green to get a big time push like that.
Yeah,
that young. Because that's one thing that I was kind of shocked about with The Shield. I remember looking up their ages and thinking, like, damn, they are, you know, they may be like rookies right now, but they are not young by any stretch of the imagination.
And to a lot of credit, and there's Jake Roberts, how about that? Who knows? Well, if you've never seen it, or if you're a fan of Rogan, or not a fan of Rogan, or just a fan of Jake Roberts, watch that interview with Roberts and Rogan. That was really good. You know, and obviously Roberts is sober now, thanks to
DDP.
DDP, yeah, I blanked on who that was. But it's just that he was really not afraid to share, you know, the past and the business. Probably to Vince McMahon's dismay, but it was a great interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's crazy just what the business can do to people.
Mm-hmm. And The Undertaker's interview with Rogan.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I did see some of the stuff in our last podcast. I was meant to bring that up a little bit. But, yeah, how about him kind of calling out the locker room to a point?
I mean, people have done that already, though. So
absolutely.
I don't get why they took such offense to that.
Because it's The Undertaker?
I guess, but I mean, you know, we've seen that already. And people
But I mean, the Undertaker is the locker room leader. Or, you know, he was... I feel like that's like a... you know, a Lynn Dawson calling out
right.
a Chiefs team or, you know, something like that. Somebody that is highly revered and in especially WWE, I mean, so highly revered
right.
that him calling you out, I mean, that's very real, you know, right. and that is, I don't know. So I just think that it was interesting that, you know, he came out and said what he said about everything and, you know, we'll see how it goes, but things change, the business changes, and, you know, people change, you know, from generation to generation, so.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, he definitely has some interesting Royal Rumble moments. When he,
Undertaker?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
When, I think, and most of them didn't even involve him physically. WrestleMania 20, when he came back to wrestle Kane after the Buried Alive match.
Yeah.
I don't even think he was, he just, the music and the lights affected Kane. Was it Paul Bearer showing up? It was one of the two.
Something, because he like did that. At one point, whether it was on Raw or something mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, that was a great rehash of their rivalry. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely wonderful, the way that they did everything.
Yeah.
And Kane and his actions and acting so shocked every time and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just saying you can't be, you know.
That's another underrated promo guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't amazing, but, you know, he was pretty solid.
And I mean, for a guy that wasn't like, you know, I mean, they didn't push Kane on the mic, no. you know, type of thing.
No. I mean, they didn't have to. But, it, you know, when they gave him the chance, he did well. And that weird Edge Kane Lita story. you know, but it got your attention as a kid, you know.
Snitsky.
The Snitsky story too, yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
That was priceless. That yeah. was, yeah, I remember that just being so silly to me as a kid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was kind of over. Just, you know, just because right. it was just so absolutely ridiculous. And then
right.
when he punted the fake baby, that was just, what is going on? But back to the Royal Rumble, I know we were talking about Batista a minute ago. How about his return, you know, for winning for the, you know, getting ready for WrestleMania 30 and getting booed out of the building?
Yeah, that was weird. You know, I don't know why people were so against him coming back.
I don't think it was as much as him coming back as it was the fact that
Daniel Bryan thing. Yeah.
He wasn't in the match. I mean, fuck, they booed Rey Mysterio at number 30. And, you know, they weren't booing Rey. They, you know, everybody was mad Daniel Bryan didn't show up. I remember watching that live thinking, like, they really didn't even put him in the match. Mm-hmm. Like, this is real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they ended up having the plan for it. But, you know, Vince McMahon was laughing his ass off backstage. You know,
absolutely
big Vince McMahon laugh, because he knew what he was going to do with Daniel Bryan eventually.
Yeah.
But God damn it, was that funny?
And the fans were not going to be denied. I feel like, and especially with this day and age where we're at with social media and just, you know, whatever being able to be kind of passed along and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, the crowd can, I mean, the crowd takes over broadcast, you know?
Yeah.
And if you get hijacked in the middle of Raw, like, there's not much you can do except go with it. I mean, after CM Punk left, I mean, how many times did CM Punk chant start?
Yeah, that was not the best.
Interesting.
For them, company-wise, but, you know, I mean, fans, like you said, fans are going to do what they want, chant-wise and anything-wise, but Dave Bautista is so good at being a dick on the mic, and allegedly he's a very nice guy in person, but God damn it, he was so good at it. You think I won't quit? The wheelchair. It's so perfect. I mean, you know, it's... God, he got it. It's one of those guys that just gets it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be the most annoying person on earth. And it was brilliant. I mean, hats off to him. Because it had to be frustrating, you know, because it's nothing he did.
Right.
You know, but he wasn't liked because of it. Is that the...
Mr. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Yeah, it is. Wow. Yeah, it's really funny watching these old... I mean, fuck, 97, how long ago was that now? 40 years?
Yeah, 24 years, yeah.
That's crazy to think.
That is crazy. I mean, you know, and looking at Triple H now, you know, compared to back then, he was one of, you know, quote-unquote younger guys who got to start pretty young, you know.
Yeah,
for me, I would say, because
he was supposed to be pushed really young. If it wasn't for the Madison Square Garden,
right.
Damn, I can't even think of what they called that now. Curtain call.
Yeah, which, you know, that sucked for him.
Right, because nobody else you could really do anything to.
Yeah, and I don't understand why he really got in trouble for that, to be honest with you. If it's not recorded, no one's going to know. You know, it was just wrong place, wrong time. You know, and it sucked even more because Vince told him to do it.
Yeah, they okayed all of it.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's
and
just...
Then, yeah, and then him getting punished. I mean, I get it to a point, you know, because that was the first real major... exposure of the business and whatnot, but
oh man, Owen Hart, how about that?
Yeah, Owen and Stone Cold going after it, and this is after the Tombstone,
after the pile driver,
or the pile driver that he spiked his head and he was out.
You sure?
Maybe not.
I feel like it was towards Austin's bigger push. Because I think Owen Hart was getting a mid-major push later in the 90s, before he died. I think because Austin... Well, I don't know. Because I can't remember if he wrestled on the neck... before he got surgery or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'm not 100% sure how that went either.
Back and look at that, but... I mean, you know, obviously... Royal Rumbles were kind of different back in the
Absolutely. Year. Yeah, because they've definitely changed it into much more of a spectacle. And I think that's much for the better. Because, you know, these old ones like we're watching right now... This is 1997. There's a lot of filler... You know, a lot of guys will, like these guys right now in the ring, are from AAA. They had a working agreement with AAA to bring some of their guys in. And that was just to bolster numbers for the Rumble. You got to have 30.
Huh. Isn't that crazy to think they didn't even have 30 guys?
Right. You know, absolutely. Or at least, you know, 30 guys they didn't see, you know, deem worth using all in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, that's obviously how different the wrestling world has changed. I mean, there's so many people on both rosters.
Yeah.
And NXT, I mean, there's just loads of wrestlers.
And one of my favorite things about the Rumble is getting to see, you know, storylines all crossing paths. Mm-hmm. And whether it may be, you know... an older storyline or something. You know, you get those, especially nowadays, WWE likes to overdo things and, you know, just continuously keep, you know, putting whoever, you know, so-and-so versus so-and-so right in front of your face. And, you know, maybe we haven't seen them cross paths in 8 months and now here we are at the Royal Rumble and, you know, now they're face-to-face again and you kind of just remember and relive all of these, you know, moments and... then, you know, there's, you know, just a lot of stuff intertwining in a Rumble match. And I think that's always fun to see. And then you get, you know, some decent comebacks. Well, that's one thing with the, you know, COVID.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, do you think we will see any major comebacks? You know, one-offs?
I'm sure you will. I mean, you know, there's a couple of guys that are producers back there that can, you know, wrestle.
That's true.
You know, you got Hurricane, who just got hired back.
Road Dogg's back there. Road Dogg's
back there. Triple H is back there.
Yeah.
There's a couple of people you can do one-offs. I would imagine if they do a one-off, Triple H will be the one-off.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, that's all right. He'll get a longer one-off than he should, but you know, in some aspects, I think it's been a while since he's gotten a long one-off, so I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see him in the final four. So that just kind of waste things, but maybe it sets up a WrestleMania match for him. You know, maybe it settles a Orton feud. That would be interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting what they did with him and Orton.
Well, I mean, it was just to, it, you know, carry continue on the story.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
an Orton Triple H match at WrestleMania, that'd be interesting. I mean, it's probably not going to happen. It's going to be Fiend Orton.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah, especially with them building that for this long.
Yeah, there's also a rumor that...
Oh, this is the one where the dude eliminated himself.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. Right. And he gets back in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, you're fucking eliminated, dude. Get out. The refs jumped up on the ropes. That's hilarious. He did that because he didn't want anyone else to eliminate him.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, he wanted to be... Yeah, that was weird. I forgot all about that.
Man, I can't remember a dude's name, but I just watched something about that the other day.
Yeah, I've forgotten that part of it. Yeah, Triple H got eliminated. You never see that.
He wasn't carrying the shovel yet.
No, he wasn't.
One of my favorite Royal Rumble moments, which I know, just in general, the Royal Rumble in 2000,
mm-hmm.
as a whole show, I thought was... absolutely fantastic. You kicked off with the Dudleys and the Hardys in a table match for mm-hmm. the tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
That Cactus Jack versus Triple H match for the title. You know, it was just a crazy war, bloodbath. Mm-hmm. Slobber Knocker, you know, I'm sure JR's got 10 more other things to call it.
Yeah.
And then The Rock losing/winning the Rumble. His both feet touched the ground as he was getting Big Show out, but but he ends up winning the Rumble, and then they end up converging with the, you know, four McMahons in every corner. That was the year they had that main event.
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed that Royal Rumble as a whole. It might be my favorite one of all time, just for nostalgia's sake. As a kid, I can remember picking that up at Blockbuster
mm-hmm.
on VHS. Showing my age a little bit here.
Yeah, I think for me, that 05 Royal Rumble, you know, will probably be towards the top. And the card was pretty good, too. I think it had, pretty sure Edge and Michaels was one of the matches.
Okay.
Which, I mean, you know, that's a good match right there.
Absolutely.
I can't remember exactly who else was on the card, but I remember it being a good card.
Who's the winner?
Michaels, probably.
Okay.
Because it was towards the beginning of Edge's push.
Okay.
What
year was it that Cena came back? In like 6 months or whatever that was to the injury, his pec. Would that have been 06?
No. It was after, I think it was 08.
Okay.
Was at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, that was quite a... And what, he came in at number 30, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he ended up... Yeah, it was 2008.
Okay.
And then he ended up winning that Rumble. Which, you know...
Oh, absolutely. You had to do that.
Yeah.
He had to win that Rumble.
Yeah. And, you know, I... To me... I don't know if you pass on that if you're a fan of anything else. I don't know what else you could have done there. But it begs the question, you know, who actually returns and wins the Royal Rumble and who doesn't?
What do you mean?
Because, I mean, Edge returned in 2010 and won.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cena in 08.
Triple H in 02.
Triple H in 02. Somebody recently returned. Won the Rumble. Can't remember who it was exactly. You know, but I mean, technically, you know, Triple H for the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
In 15?
Somewhere around that. That would have been for WrestleMania 32.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. It would have been closer to 17 then. Because we're at WrestleMania, what, 36?
7.
37. So 16, 17 probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows, you know, would they decide who's good enough to return and actually win a Rumble match?
Right, and you got to go off of, you know, what kind of reaction they're going to get from the fans and support and, mm-hmm. you know, things of that nature. But I think that it's a lot easier to book an active wrestler that was injured to come back.
Right.
Rather than somebody, you know, even the Triple H one. I mean, what a weak WrestleMania card that was.
Right. I mean, I did like the story of the Royal Rumble, though.
That year? Yeah. I mean, I liked it and, you know, whatever. I get it. They were trying to get over... Roman at the time, and they were trying to give him some big obstacle to right. overcome, and I understand that. But yeah, I don't know if that was... I think that's the only way that they had to go, really. I mean, they were backed into a wall, everybody was hurt, and that WrestleMania definitely suffered and is known as one of the worst WrestleManias of all time, but...
Yeah, that's right. That was a lot... There were a lot of injuries during that. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was unfortunate timing for the company.
Yeah, especially to be right around Mania. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, how about the timing of last year and COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that was literally right before Mania that everything got shut down.
Right.
I mean, if WrestleMania was 2 weeks before that or something, you know, like, I think they would have gotten away with having it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, that was just like, I feel like days before they canceled everything.
Yeah. Which, I mean, why they didn't move it up 2 weeks, I don't know.
Right.
You know, but I...
That's a lot, though, to do, yeah, you know, a whole show to plan, and they're, you know, using Raymond James Stadium. And, right. So that's not just your company that you're dealing with. Now you're dealing with the venue as well. And mm-hmm. probably a lot of money.
Right. I mean, who knows? But to me, the best Royal Rumble matches are the ones with returns. You know, and ones that just kind of set the tone in a good way for the WrestleMania. 2010 is a good example of it, as they're showing now. Even though it was a bad card, WrestleMania 32, you know, the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania, WrestleMania 30. Cena in 08. You know, there's different ways you can set up a WrestleMania through the Royal Rumble. You know, and Drew McIntyre
last year, knocking out Brock Lesnar. You know, so there's a lot of different shit you can do. But every now and then, you know, you hit a home run with the winner. And then sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm. This is the one that Edge returned
this
on.
This is the one Edge won.
And in this one was also the one where HBK eliminated Undertaker?
This may have been the one where HBK was denied another chance at the Undertaker.
Oh, yeah, because Undertaker was the champ at the time, and then Elimination Chamber, he pops up and gets him to lose the title and finally accept his rematch.
And that's another good Royal Rumble moment in the story.
Absolutely.
You know, because Shawn Michaels, like him, hate him, whatever may have you, over the stories over the years, but by God, could he sell a story.
Absolutely.
And this story right here was the best, you know, you've ever seen out of Shawn Michaels. Just desperate, beside himself. I mean, you know, it was just well told. You know, and when he super kicked the Undertaker in the Elimination Chamber, just brilliant.
Yeah.
Just brilliant.
Yeah, the way that they did everything for that story and then to have the match that they did, I mean, was just absolutely insane. I think... Man, I forgot what I was going to say. I think...
Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Royal Rumble.
Austin has 3 wins in the Rumble.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
And I think every single one of his Rumbles have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And then this, was it this Royal Rumble? I think it was this Royal Rumble where CM Punk just talks on the mic for half the Rumble. Yeah, it is. And this was CM Punk's Straight Edge Society.
What the hell?
And this, yeah, this is when he talks on the mic for half the Rumble. And it's so... And this was a risk by McMahon, because you're letting somebody who isn't there yet, you know, fill half the time of one of your biggest matches of the year.
Yeah.
And you're hoping he doesn't fail, and by God, he didn't. I mean, he hit a home run. I mean, he pissed people off. People wanted him off the mic, not because he was bad, but just because they wanted to see him get eliminated.
Drawing heat. I mean, and doing exactly what he's supposed brilliant. To do. Man. I forget that Crime Time was a thing.
Yeah. I think he recently passed away, didn't he?
I don't know. JTG?
One of them... was sucked into a current in the ocean. I can't remember which one it was.
I think that was Shad, but I think that he survived it. I think. I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure either.
But I mean, kind of been all over the place with this particular episode, but right. Basically, you know, you got the Royal Rumble on Sunday. For those who listen to it on time. But man, you know, I guess if I had to pick a favorite Royal Rumble moment, I said Cena Batista, but my favorite Royal Rumble of all time would probably be when it broke out into that hardcore match. I can't remember what year that was. Was it 03? Or was it during the Attitude Era? So it would have been 01, maybe.
Okay.
Because it was when Kane eliminated 8 people.
Okay. Or I thought it was 12. It
may have been 12.
Yeah. I think it was. And then Roman Reigns beat that.
Yeah, with 13.
Yeah. They were really trying to push the hell out of Roman. Man, favorite Royal Rumble of all time, I think, is going to have to be for me the 2000 Royal Rumble, like I was talking about earlier. In recent time, I'm not sure. I feel like a lot of the recent ones kind of blur together for me.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that first Women's Royal Rumble. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a good match.
And get to see a lot of, you know, they really threw it back to some old faces. Molly Holly showed up for that.
Trish Stratus. Lita.
Yeah.
Stacy Keibler, I think, even.
Yeah, Tori, I think you're Wilson. Right.
Show McCool.
Yeah, so it was just really a wild throwback.
Mm-hmm. Even Melina, I think.
Beth Phoenix popped up in it.
Who got the back of her head busted open in the match?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, recent ones, I don't know. Like I enjoy them, don't get me wrong, but maybe that same year, the Shinsuke one, I was definitely excited to see him and AJ. I thought him and AJ would put on a show. We talked about, I think that was the last episode, that kind of did not go as planned.
No.
Speaking of Beth Phoenix, here she is in this Royal Rumble that we're watching currently. But, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, John Cena triple threat match for the world title. That, I think, has become my favorite match at a Royal Rumble, possibly.
Which one was that?
That was, I think Rollins was the world champ at the time.
Oh, that's right.
Or no, right before. That may have been right before WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
Roman wins the Royal Rumble that night. And then we see that triple threat match for the world title. And it was just a crazy good match. Rollins jumped from the top rope to the table.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was a wild match. And was that the Royal Rumble they did the triple threat match with Brock, Braun, and somebody else? Or was that a different pay-per-view?
It may have been a different pay-per-view.
That was the one where they were hitting, like, Braun kind of accidentally hit Brock with a stiff shot, and then he just straight punched him in the face. That was great. And that was, like, the opening moments of the match. I mean, that was just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, you don't really want to piss Brock Lesnar off.
Right.
Yeah, Royal Rumble was so broad, it's hard to, you know, kind of culminate all of it together. But what do you guys feel about Royal Rumble? What is your general feeling about Royal Rumble? Because I know some people like it, some people don't. But how do you feel about Royal Rumble? What is your favorite Royal Rumble moment? You know, let us know on Instagram and on Twitter if you want. You know, we'll delve into it deeper on different, you know, shows and whatnot. But, you know, What is your general feeling about the Royal Rumble, and what are your predictions for this Sunday at the Royal Rumble? You know, I guess, you know, you're breaking it down into two categories: comebacks or not. You got the Becky Lynch potential comeback. You got Edge coming back. You know, who wins on Sunday? I guess we'll find out on Sunday.
Only time will tell, right? But the best thing is that this brings us into WrestleMania season.
That it does.
That is always exciting. But I think that's going to wrap it up for us here today, and we will see you on the other side for another episode of Wrestling with Kayfabe, Paw Patrol and DJ.